Okay, so that brings us really to the ABC. The ABC Matched Fund is a fund that's been in place for about 6 or 7 years and in various ways, going way back into the history of it. It was originally money, at the time when the ABC moved to its new premises, the government provided some money which it was decided should go to funding, a special allocation of funding that would be used to fund West Australian content for the ABC. There have been a number of iterations of the contract over that time, but the way that it has been working recently, and working well, I might say, I think, has been as matched fund. And the essence of the matched fund is a producer goes to the ABC, gets the ABC to agree to buy a project, gets the ABC to agree to a license fee, and or investment, and they can then come to ScreenWest and we will match that. So we match the amount of money that you can get from the ABC. And that works quite well because it encourages people to put more in because they know that they're going to get more on the other side. But similarly, it also allows, if it's a different type of deal, where it doesn't need to have a certain amount of money, it's a flexible situation. There's a long list of projects which Alan, we're going to have a conversation in a little while to talk about how documentary is going and where we're going to go. And we might talk about some of the projects that have been through it up to now. But we have done about $21 million worth of production in the last 2 years, financed through that fund. And so it's quite a lot of work. Unfortunately, at the last budget, the state government did not fund us as part of their crackdown on everything, Troy Boswell's sort of budget. However, we have managed to get the money together and we've relaunched that fund with $1.5 million from ScreenWest and $1.5 million from the ABC to be used between now and the 30th of June. So we are going to be working closely with the ABC and with everybody to try and get that money out the door and on the screen. So I'd like to introduce Alan, who will be talking a bit about that, but also Alan's become the head of documentaries. Stuart Menzies, who was previously the head of documentaries, has become the controller of ABC2 as part of a big reshuffle inside the ABC where there are now two distinct networks, ABC1, or two distinct channels within that network, ABC1 and ABC2. Obviously, there's also ABC3 and ABC4. So instead of being one ABC, it's four ABCs. ABC1 is possibly distinctive from ABC2. Maybe you'd like to, would you like to come and have a bit of a chat about that?
Thanks very much for having me here today. And I've met with lots of people this afternoon, and I've really enjoyed it and appreciate everybody pitching projects and listening to some of the things I had to say. I also would just join with Harry and ScreenWest in saying that it's great that the ABC ScreenWest matched fund is in action again. The projects that I've been involved with that have been part of the fund, there's a great number of them actually, and they've all been great. They've all been really good fun. Just recently, I've been in the sort of white heat of post-production on Jundamara's War, Leaky Boat, and Dino Stampede, which are all really great documentaries, and they're all really high quality, and they've got reasonable budgets, and most of, and that, you know, the sort of energy of the people making the film and the money is going on screen, and it's been really productive. So it's wonderful to be able to work with the producers of Western Australia, and we hope to be able to do it through the Match Fund and through other devices, other funding devices and relationships into the future. There have been some big changes at the ABC, and they can seem a bit complicated, but they are actually quite profound, I think. And they're really about the, Harry was talking about the going to see Google TV, and they're about really the ABC trying to deal with convergence and trying to deal with a media environment in which there are many pipes going to different viewers at different times. And I mean, you know, pipes, platforms, you know, ways of viewing content, ways of engaging with you know, screen material in the world. And the ABC traditionally has been, you know, really dominated by, has been one TV channel. But it has also been, you know, TV, radio, online. So it's not something that the ABC is not used to, which is a kind of a diversity of sending stuff out to its viewers. And if you think about ABC News and Current Affairs, which is one of the real backbones of the ABC, that's always been one place that generates news and current affairs and sends it down the line in lots of different ways, in the form of radio news, online news, TV news. And that's what that's one of the ways that in the restructure of the ABC we've tried to relate, we've tried to, you know, imitate that to some extent and sort of set up something that can be quite flexible and can work in the new environment. I'm just hoping this is sort of as much as possible a conversation, so Harry is going to interrupt me and ask questions, and you guys are welcome to interrupt and ask questions.
I'm
as well.
Into that sort of phase.
Well, I'm going to say a few things about the different channels, but if you just want to start any time. Yeah.
We'll keep going? Keep going.
Yeah, fine.
And we'll ask questions.
All right, fine.
Get into a conversation.
Okay, so so the ABC's gone from, you know, being driven by one main TV channel to ABC 1, ABC 2, ABC 3, ABC 4. ABC 3 is ABC Kids, and ABC 4 is News 24, the 24-hour news channel. But it's also defined another channel, which is, you know, which is ABC multi-platform, ABC online, and the way that the structure's set up, and I sort of encourage you guys to think of this for a while at least, until the technologies all change again. But that ABC multi-platform is another channel, and that's the way the business has been set up. ABC, and so ABC multi-platform is, you know, includes iView. Has anyone been on iView?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can sort of. iView is catch-up TV, but it's also acquiring stuff that's unique to iView. So it's, you can see it's like another channel. It's like it's the ABC channel you can watch anytime, anywhere, you know, on your computer or on your it's shortly you'll be able to watch it on your iPad and all that kind of stuff. So they're different places. Now, each of these channels has what they've called it a controller, right? Which is all lots of jokes about fat controllers and people that, you know, it makes you think of kind of, you know, sort of people far away from the action exerting all sorts of power. But I think what a good way to think of the controllers is as editors-in-chief of a newspaper. So then it wouldn't necessarily be the people that decide exactly which stories to run every day, but they'd be the people that set the tone for the channel, for that pipe to the audience, and the people that sort of react to the audience, the people that are really intimate with that audience and you know, want to surprise them and relate to them through their curating of their channels. Now, the thing is that I've mentioned, you know, five different outlets. They're not all equal for every type of program that the ABC produces or commissions. ABC One is still the one that gets most of the viewers and sucks up most of the resource for ABC commissioning and internal production and any other kind of and acquisitions. ABC 2 is a free-to-air digital channel, and that, you know, depends on the genre, has a different kind of allocation of resources, and it's flexible and it's changeable, but it's a significant minority of the resources is going to ABC 2 to put as much unique content on there as possible, and also to buy the best possible stuff for ABC 2. ABC 3 has its own budget allocated by the government. It's tied funding for ABC 3 to produce great material without ads for Australian children. And they have quite a bit of weight. They're actually, you know, able to do a lot of things in the market because children's programming is so co-producible internationally. It's also, there's far more, there's overlap with natural history, there's overlap with other kinds of, you know, contemporary documentaries, they really are quite a potentially quite a strong force, because they have their, they have reach. They have this channel that's been very successful since it launched last year, and they do, and they have significant amounts of money. News 24 is the 24-hour news channel, and most of what's produced, they do have a lot of resources, but they are another pipe for the ABC's significant news and current affairs resources, and they don't really take resources from other parts of the ABC. ABC multi-platform piggybacks a lot on the TV resource, other channel TV resources, but increasingly has its own resources to spend. As I say, they acquire content for iView that's exclusive. They're also making a call on my department, the documentary department's resources, and we're looking to do a contemporary online documentary that has a life online and may branch out into some other kind of TV documentary, but actually is just an online documentary, a uniquely online documentary kind of program. So they're the places that the ABC, you can go to the ABC. They're all controlled by a controller, and the controller has to say yes, the editor has to say yes before any of your content can get on any of those places. But there is the system for getting stuff onto the ABC is a two-tick system. The other person that has to say yes is the person controlling the budget for those types of programs, which is, you know, me in the case of documentaries, the head of drama in the case of drama, etc. So they're the kind of thanks very much. So what the system demands is a kind of a high level of collaboration between people at the ABC, and it requires the relationship with the audience, the demographics, the ratings that comes to the which is primarily the function of the controllers, to be balanced with the relationship with the material, the content, which is primarily the function of the heads of department, like me. And through me, the producers of Australia. Our collaboration must be tighter, because we both collectively have to please the controllers, the editors in chief. So I hope that's sort of helpful in looking at the system. I think just saying about what the nature is of some of the channels, some of you may have heard from the new channel controllers directly. You may have read what they think online. There are some shifts. ABC One is a channel that has traditionally super served people 55 plus. The new controller of ABC One, Brendan Dahl, is looking to continue to look after older Australians, but also to get more viewers who are younger, who are between 35 and 49, in particular what the demographers describe as working families. That's really people with children between 0 and 15 at home. He's looking to make the channel much more compelling family viewing, especially on the weekends. And he's looking to make it what he calls the home of intelligent entertainment, and really to emphasise entertainement. ABC Two, the digital free-to-air channel, which has really been very successful in terms of grabbing a chunk of the audience quite quickly since its launch in only less than 2 years ago, and has really up till now has repeated things on ABC One and acquired content. It's now going to be having commissioned content. It's going to have, you know, at least one drama. It's going to have probably two documentary series. It's going to have an entertainment series. It'll still be much more acquired content than commissioned or locally produced content, but it's definitely going to have much more of an Australian voice. And Stuart Menzies, who used to be the head of documentaries, some of you will know, who's the controller of that channel, talks about his channel being the channel of impact, reach and reputation. So things on ABC Two might be more edgy. They might be ABC Two might be the channel that people dip into less often. It might not be the channel they always go to first, but it might hopefully be the channel they check out with something unusual something that extends your sense of a bit more than what you might have expected from the ABC in the past will be on that channel.
And the age group?
They're aiming at an age group younger than the at the moment they're looking at people down into their between 25 and, you know, 49, but their channel at the moment skews, there's a couple of demographic shifts, but definitely looking to be to appeal to younger viewers, and they already do appeal to younger viewers on ABC too.
And yeah? The documentary series that they're commissioning is definitely sort of aimed at that rather than your 55.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, a lot more of the content we commission for both channels is going to be aimed more at people people under 55, and on ABC 2 it's absolutely, it'll be aiming at people under 35, yeah? Just to see what they achieve, I think ABC 2 achieves, its median age is about 42, yeah? And ABC 3 is over 55. Oh, sorry, ABC 1 is over 55, yeah? Okay.
And ABC 3 is 14, is what
they're saying. Yeah, ABC 3 is, yeah, and, well, it's got it's got the younger kids and the older kids. Mm. Yeah, so they're looking to split more there. But I mean, we don't commission for ABC 3 exclusively in documentaries. So, you know, ABC 3 is a kind of a powerful force for us to collaborate with, but not for us to commission directly for. ABC 4, when it commissioning, all the content, as I said, is being produced in-house at the moment or acquired from, international news providers. So there aren't opportunities there at the moment. There may be opportunities there in the future. ABC multi-platform, there are opportunities for your programs that you already own to relicense them, you know, for viewing on iView, and also for content that's unique to online. And as I say, we're looking to launch an initiative in the new year, which would be for a contemporary documentary online project. More details to follow on that. Okay, so moving on to what our documentary response to things that I look after to this sort of changing situation. One of the things that's happened is documentary's been folded into a factual department. And what that has enabled to do is that I report to the head of factual, whose name's Jennifer Collins, but so does also the head of factual acquisitions, and so does the head of sport and events. And also so do all the EPs of the internally made shows at the ABC. So hopefully what you've got is a situation where all the different ways that the ABC gets content put on its screens is done in a more focused and genre-oriented way, so that what we commission complements, we know more about what we're commissioning and how it's going to complement what we're acquiring. We know how we can, so if we've got an event like sport, they do the Paralympics, that we may be much more likely to commission a documentary that works with that, or a documentary series and build up to that. So hopefully we're more integrated, we know more what we're doing, we're focused on the audience more, and when we come to the independent community, we're more proactive and we're more useful, we're a better partner to deal with for you guys. So that's a kind of a, so all the ways, I mean, if you think about the fact that the ABC, acquires, more than it actually, between commissioning and internal production, the total that we actually make is slightly less in factual than the amount that we actually acquire. All right. So I'm just going to move quickly through the genres of documentary that we're commissioning for. And I won't go into the detail of, what we're looking for, what our plan is in each section yet. I'll look to sort of discuss a little bit more about that with each other. But we're commissioning in science, natural history, that's right, science, natural history, contemporary documentaries, history, and religion and ethics for the Compass slot. We used to commission indigenous documentaries for Message Stick or some other parts of the schedule, but that commissioning is now handled by the new head of Indigenous, Sally Riley. And similarly, we've never commissioned arts, and there are arts documentaries, and that's commissioned by ABC Arts, Amanda Duffy, not by us. But that's still a really broad range of stuff that we are that we're commissioning documentaries for. We're also, in terms of the total amount, in the past we've commissioned about between 50 and 55 hours a year of documentary. Around half of that's been series, and half of that's one-offs. At the moment, our license fees are being driven up by the market and possibly by some shifts at Screen Australia. If that happens, we don't have a corresponding increase in budget, so we'll be commissioning fewer projects and paying more for each one. We're looking to sort of maximise the amount of money we've got to get the max amount of content on screen, while still, you know, still complying with the terms of trade and, you know, working with independent producers in ways that work with them.
And is there going to be more focus on series, or...?
There's going to be more of a focus on series, yeah. Both ABC 1 and ABC 2, where virtually, you know, 98% of our money goes, both the controllers want more series. They want more...
What is a series? You know, well, series can be two parts.
Yeah, it can be, but I mean, really they want more. I mean, especially ABC 2, it wants... You know, when they're somewhere between a free-to-air channel and a cable channel in a funny sort of way, and the more...
They're a digital channel.
They're a digital free-to-air channel, right? So the more they can... So the more... You know, they would love an 8, 10, 12-part half-hour series.
Right.
They'd want, you know, they'd want at least a 4x1-hour series and really would prefer a 6.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, you, and same with ABC. What ABC 1 clearly wants is repeatability. It wants to build brands and then commission it again the next year. You know, it wants to do the things that telly is good at, and the ABC has done, but in documentary has done less of, partly because of our funding models, and partly because we were always very opportunistic. You know, we often got, because we had the biggest documentary pot, we'd often get offered projects first, and we'd cherry pick what we thought was strong. It'd often be one-offs, and we'd sort of deal with the fact that they were harder to market and unrepeatable. We'd compensate for the fact that they were the best, and some of them were really brilliant. We got some really amazing numbers and audience responses and public service values out of those one-offs.
They're just a one-shot.
They're a one-shot, and the controllers are sitting there trying to build a brand and a fragment, you know, maintain and build brands in a fragmenting market, and they want to repeat. So they want something to work well, and they want to do it again.
You'd be quite frustrated if Screen Australia is saying that they will only do 2 series.
My instinct is that, that's really going to hit SBS straight away. And SBS have got the smallest amount of resource, and I think that's really tough for them. I think that the reason Screen Australia are doing that is because of something like Underbelly, where the commercial channels, they're continually going back for more public subsidy on a very successful commercial thing. I think there's probably a different situation for the public service channels, because if it's a hit, we don't get any extra money.
Mm.
You know, there's no comeback then. So yeah, so series is definitely something that they're that percentage of series is going to go up. Yeah. Just to talk about some really useful practical information. Might be about the slots. I'll just run through that really quickly and people can ask questions, and then let's start the dialogue after I've done the slots. ABC One, the hour slots are 8:30 on a Tuesday. We used to mostly play on 8:30 on a Thursday, but at the moment Rake is in there, and I think drama's starting to come on stream with the extra money that we got from the government, and I think that they may look to put the drama at 8:30 on a Thursday. So we've been on 8:30 on a Tuesday, and that's looking at series as popular and relevant as possible.
Half hours or 1 hour?
1 hours. These are 1 hour, all 1 hour slots on ABC One at the moment. And just remember that Tuesdays is where they run packed to the rafters. Yeah? So it's like there's nowhere to hide in the schedule. And that's a tough one. So, you know, it doesn't...
What would be a perfect series to run there? Not that you'll get Kent, you won't necessarily...
Look, we last went up against Pack to the Rafters in a series of science programs that I commissioned, and we got fairly well hammered. I think it would be something intelligent, but that Pack to the Rafters. I think you'd have to think about, if Pack to the Rafters continues to go gangbusters, and it will at least for one more season, you'd have to be thinking about not being Pack to the Rafters. I'm serious. Yeah, I mean, it's a complete...
Anybody that might want to watch that.
We'll just hope everyone watches it on IP.
Well, that's one fact. I'm getting it. Yeah. Well, actually, look, and interestingly enough, our science shows did get really good figures on iView. Yeah, because people delayed. Yeah. So 8:30 Tuesday, 9:30 Thursday for stuff that's maybe a bit edgier, but still that's still prime time. And still, the control of ABC One wants series at 9:30 on Thursdays. If we do one-offs, which we can do at 8:30 on a Tuesday, we can do. We're keen to do some one-offs that are like Dick Smith's Population Puzzle, that are kind of events that are provocative and that we can have a Q&A debate on afterwards. So that's an opportunity. We'd look to do 2 or 3 of those a year, maybe. Q&A is a real hit on the ABC. It's great to be able to leverage Q&A The Dick Smith's population puzzle did just under 1 million. The debate, there was a 5% viewer loss for the debate, and the debate ran from 9:30 to 10:30 to 10:15. The other hour slot on ABC One is 7:30 on a Sunday, and Sunday is where the control is looking to grab look at family viewing. So natural history is a real opportunity there, and it's that family things you can watch with your kids, something grand with a sense of wonder. So that doesn't mean that you couldn't do history or ambitious science or indeed something that's really contemporary but maybe in a way that has got a great bit of audience participation, so. And then in the half-hour slots on ABC One are 8 p.m. weeknights for series, which was a slot that we kind of didn't have for a while, but there are opportunities there now because some of the other series that run on that slot, like Catalyst, are looking to kind of compress the time that they're on. And potentially sort of family half-hour series at 6:30 on a Sunday. So that might be People and Animals, it might be some kind of travel, something light but still intelligent, and something that you can watch with your kids before the news. On ABC Two, there are half-hour slots at 8 p.m. Wednesday, which is the doco night on ABC Two, and at 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday for our series. Yeah. So they're the slots. That's lots of information. I think that my big message is that it is a significant change. Is that we're being asked to think, is to react to the vision of the controllers who are really, really focused on the audience. And for us to collectively aim our output at the audience. I know we always have. I know we always think every time you're deciding which shot to use, how long it should be, how to open the film, we're all thinking of the audience.
Think working families.
Well, yeah, the controllers think of the audience in this sort of very mass way, and that's their value. And this is nothing new for people who work for commercial networks, but at the ABC, it has been that, the audience was actually filtered a lot more through the genre heads, who were a lot more engaged with the content. The controllers are less engaged with the specifics of the content, but much more engaged with the minds of the audience in a very big picture demographic kind of way.
So if you've got an idea, you're still going to a commissioning editor,
the first place is me. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There's two new commissioning editors in documentaries, so they're the first place. Or the head of development, Edwina Waddy. The commissioning editor for Contemporary Docs and Religion and Ethics is Chris Thorburn. The commissioning editor for Science and Natural History is Karina Holden. And I'm still looking after history. So that covers our documentary genre. So the point of entrance is at the content level. But it's going to have to get a tick from the controller. So it just forces us to think about
there's no point in going to the control of your idea.
They're
going to
send. I think that they're going to send you back to us. Some of you already will have had conversations and engagement with the controllers or listened to them speak or whatever, and I think that should continue. They're powerful people in the business, and the idea that it's like you can't talk to them or whatever, I'm not going to get upset if you talk to the controllers.
Right.
And the controller says, "Oh, that sounds interesting. Speak to Alan." I'm not going to get upset about that. But they're different kinds of animals.
So how's your job changed if you're going from sort of you're still a genre head,
yeah,
but you're working. So previously it would have been the network programmer.
Yeah.
But they seem to be more scheduling rather than shaping the look of the channel.
Yeah, I think the network programmer did.
And then your job has changed.
Yeah,
slightly.
The network programmer always was very important, and was very important because they would decide where stuff went. And Marina was, I think Marina really understood the ABC audience and had this sort of vision for the ABC. So the surface thing is a new person's doing that, and they're doing it specifically for their channel in a much more fragmented world. So they're trying to, they're much more aware of the differences between the ABC channels as well as all the others.
Yeah.
But my job's changed in that it's much more formal, the relationship. you know, I don't know exactly what Stuart said to Marina in their meetings,
right?
But it was, now it's completely clear,
right?
You know, it's a two-tick system.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So yeah.
Yeah. No, that's and so do you just you're talking about the fact that you're moving from not so many single documentaries to a more of a series focus.
Yeah.
Are you changing the type of single documentaries that you think you might want? I mean, I think that probably in the past there's been a lot of quite formal documentaries. There's certainly been a lot of like war history and sort of big pipe dreams or you know, very big history projects and big kind
of history has been a bit driven by the history scheme.
And the history scheme goes on?
Well, the history scheme is up for review.
Right.
So whether it will continue, whether the government reallocates some new money, and whether it's in its existing form, which is an exclusive deal with, between Screen Australia and the ABC, is to be decided.
Leaving that aside, how is there a different looking set of documentaries coming out?
I think so, yeah. I think so because those documentaries are going to be aimed at the vision of the controllers. And I think so because of the call for series. There are some caveats to that. I think that there is a strong tradition of documentaries that are, you know, in Australia. I'm thinking of the ABC. I mean, I think last year at IDFA, the ABC had, I think, 6 or 7 docs. I'm just thinking there was A Good Man. Does anyone remember that? I don't know, that was it's an observational documentary of a man whose wife's wife who decides to open a brothel in a country town.
Yeah.
Shot over a number of years, really sort of extraordinary and a kind of moral conundrum. There was Contact, one of the stories of First Contact in the Western Desert. You know, really beautiful film that's won awards all over the world and did, you know, it's done solid business. There was, I won't go through the whole list, but there was I, Psychopath, a science film about a filmmaker trying to make a film about a psychopath who was trying to test, where the poor old filmmaker is completely tortured by the psychopath. You know, quite an unusual film. Anyway, I don't want to be saying, I will fight hard to make sure there's a place for those documentaries on the ABC, and I realise that they can't all be put into a series because they're all unique and they're, you know, they're a great opportunity. So we're not saying no to those kinds of documentaries. There's just a great tradition of that in Australia and of, you know, the community doing those ones and everybody supporting it, and I'm keen for that. So that's one thing. The other thing was curating someone off into groups, which is a possibility. I say that's a possibility most in history, because in history we tend to do Australian stories and they're all in the past. So you can call it kind of like, you know, I don't know what you call it, but, you know, the Australian History Series, and people will know what to expect. It's not going to work in science, I don't think. We've tried it in science, and we had about 7 science documentaries on in a year. We put 4 of them on in a series. We gave it a kind of title, and everyone still just came to some documentaries and not to others. We didn't really build a brand. Because science, is incredibly diverse, and it's incredibly international. You know, we can, a film about mathematics and a film about geology are very different, and they won't necessarily attract the same people. So pulling things into groups is one way of doing the one-offs. But I don't think we're going to see. So in terms of, you know, what kinds of documentaries we're going to see, I think we're going to see things, especially say at 8:30 on ABC One, we're going to see things that are, you know, strong, you know, hopefully immersive, maybe a bit more immersive. I mean, Making Australia Happy is playing at 8:30 on a Monday night at the moment. It's doing sort of okay. Not, it's doing amazingly online, not as well as we might have hoped in the ratings. But that's kind of maybe, you know, that's a kind of a somewhere between a makeover show and a science documentary.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of attempt to engage a broad audience is going to be
More daily life sort of stuff.
Well, there might be some of that sort of thing. I mean, but not just daily life. I mean, I'd say Dinosaur Stampede is a really broad audience piece of filmmaking that's highbrow as well.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, it uses the devices of Hollywood filmmaking and flash CGI to draw an audience in. So I'm not saying what device, I'm just saying that will be what we do more and more. Jan Damara's War is a drama doc that kind of has a Hollywood score and has a, you know, classically constructed hero's journey.
Dramatic structure.
You know, it's unashamedly epic. It's got more helicopter shots than you can shake a stick at. It's really trying to grab a big audience. I mean, whether we succeed or fail is like, you know, that's all up to all of our skills. Yeah.
Anybody else? Please feel free to ask any questions.
We were talking about series. I mean, you see, funding is always a big issue with any of these things. Does that mean then you'd be looking at more of an international focus for series? Because obviously, Australian audience. How is the series? How do you see that kind of?
Yeah, I mean, it's that whole blend of it kind of depends on the subject. I mean, in natural history, we're looking for international money and animals from our region, and that we've sort of shown in the past that that's kind of doable. In science, we have to be international, I think, and we have to. Because that's what either it's cutting edge science, either it's meaningful science and it's meaningful to all of us, or it's not science, or it's, you know, it's not science. In history, we're always going to be Australian, I mean, what's kind of terrific, I think, about the Australian producing community is how successful it is internationally with stuff that's still quite Australian. You could say that Dinosaur Stampede, there's that guy and his wife. Aussie airs in the middle of it, and it's full of these international scientists. So I don't know. I guess we're going to look to do that. But with series, with funding, we're going to be, looking at having to. We will have to do series that are grand enough, or that are international enough for us to work internationally. Otherwise, we're going to run out of resources, or we're going to have to put up more higher either license fee or equity or something else to get what we want. I mean, what's sort of clear is that we're looking to have more flexibility in the way we use resources. So there may be, we're looking to try maybe another avenue for commissioning content, which is where the ABC pays a license, where we commission content from a specific state, and where the ABC has license fee resource, local resources, like we're in a state where the ABC has editors or studios or whatever, or something like that, or camera, camera people, or art department if that's required, and maybe some state agency funding. And we realise that won't be, and the offset, realise that maybe they won't be huge budget productions. But I think that's an opportunity for producers. It's an opportunity for the ABC to do to use a multiplicity of resources. Whereas in the past, documentaries we've only
longer running
half-hour series, maybe.
Probably with lower budget per unit.
Yeah, with lower budget per unit, but a really good project to build your company on, because it's repeatable. Mm-hmm. And if it's really, and if it's really, really successful, you could end up like a lot of ABC things where the commercials steal it, you make lots of money. Yeah.
Okay. Do you see any, science, or is there an emerging genre?
Genres. Okay, look, if there are two emerging genres, then it's contemporary and natural history. Natural history, because of the family focus of ABC One, we know that natural history, in all its forms, is something that people like to watch with their children. It appeals across a wide age group. It's internationally co-producible.
Is that like David Attenborough, or is it a lot?
It's from everywhere, from David Attenborough down to People and Animal Stories.
Yeah, people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What was the one that we made some years ago? Kangaroo Valley. No, what was it called? About the zoo. Those sort of films.
Yeah, we've got a kind of a zoo, not quite a zoo, but a sort of animal. My family.
Animal hospital.
Got a My Family and Other Animals project in production, which we've commissioned 13.5 hours, and it's that kind of model of a state agency, a big DG because it's internationally available, an ABC pre-sale and offset.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we, I mean, that's
right through to the life of a particular animal.
Yeah, right through to something that's got over, you know, $1.2 million per episode and has focused on animal behaviour and, you know, right. is as blue chip as we can possibly right. afford. Yeah.
And about how much of that would you be doing a year?
Yeah, we have. We've kind of drafted some numbers, and they're now being matched to our resources. But I mean, when I was doing natural history, I took over at the end of 2007, and so now in 2.5 years, I think we did around about 18 hours of natural history.
Right.
And so that would be, you know, 9 a year or, okay. you know, commission 9 yeah. a year, say. And I think that would be set to climb.
Right.
Yeah.
And your other genre?
Okay, contemporary. Right. I mean, part of the thing is that with contemporary is that we feel that in documentary that, you know, one of the strengths is you know, being on the zeitgeist, you know, giving people documentaries that are about what they're really interested in now. I mean, Dick Smith's Population Puzzle is a really good example of that. It was on during the election. Everyone was, you know, Julia had differentiated herself from Kevin by saying she was for a small Australia, and everyone was, and migration's always bubbling away in Australia's head. So, you know, it was really topical. It was really good timing. And we just think we need to do that more often. But we also need to do like a documentary treatment. Now that particular film was like an essay structure, but we know what's the documentary treatment? It's character. It's intimacy with character over time. It makes it distinctive from Australian story, which is stories told generally in the past through a master interview. It makes it distinctive from Four Corners, which is a journalistic report. So there is a unique way of treating the world as it is now through documentary, and we feel we haven't done it that as well as we might over the last little bit, and that's an area for growth. It's also an area we think that, you know, we can satisfy audiences by being, you know, by being really topical.
Topical issues.
Yeah, topical issues with a documentary treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apart from the Dick Smith one, what would be
some other? Okay, something that we've just commissioned recently is a thing that's, it's called Country Town Rescue. It's a half-hour series about a small town in New South Wales that's dying, like lots of our rural communities are. That's basically sent out the message and is auditioning people to come and live in their town for $1 a week. They've got all these empty houses; they're renting them out for $1 a week. And so it's like a kind of a, you know, it's like they've set up the reality show for us in a sense. So it's not a constructed reality show because it's really happening. Mm. But the story's coming in now. That's okay. Country towns, we've been wanting to do something about rural Australia for ages. It's happening now. It's particularly relevant because of the election, because we're all hanging on a knife edge because of the regions. Someone from Canberra said to me the other day, everything's regional now. Mm. So, you know, that, I think that's a good example. And plus, it's genuine. It's characters over time. You've got all these people from all over, mostly urban Australia, coming to live in a small town. You've got the locals. How will they get on? Will they be able to make it? And filmed over a year, you know, it should be really good. Yeah. So that, I mean, part of the talent of documentary makers is to kind of, you know, people have said to me lots of things today about things they think are kind of issues, and they've come, you know, and sometimes better than others, they've come with like a documentary treatment of that issue. Yeah.
So in present, oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, sorry, I'm just saying, like, you, brother, sorry, got your name, but you've got a situation that you've created you're looking to tell a story in, yeah, which is which is in a documentary way, not in a news and current affairs way, anything else, yeah.
So in presenting that to you, how do we go about doing that?
In a variety, I mean, we're, you know, flexible and open, basically. I don't really mind if you come to the, Edwina, Chris, Karina, or me. You know, I don't care if it comes via someone else in the factual department that you know Jennifer Collins. I don't care. I don't really mind which way it comes in, and I don't really mind at which stage it comes in. I think it's sort of what
could be two pages.
Yeah, two pages is fine. It could be a phone call to say, I'm interested in this area. I don't know what I'm doing in this area, but I'm interested in it. Have you commissioned anything last week? You know, I'm interested in ailing country towns. You know, I'll tell you, we're probably not going
to
do one.
Phone call to Edwina would be the best.
Phone call to Edwina is good, yeah. Yeah.
Rather than character, was one more popular than the other in terms of
I think if it's a sort of provocative opinion piece, then the essay-driven forms can be really helpful. Most of what we do in documentary is, you know, dramatic storytelling. Occasionally we do documentary essays, but I mean, since I've been at the ABC, I'd say it'd be 9 to 1 or better. You know, it would work. So still the dramatic form of storytelling is, you know, dominates. Yeah? I mean, Leaky Boat, which is a West Australian production, which is a history doc about the 2001, the boats that came, you know, the Tampa, children overboard, all that kind of stuff, is a dramatic narrative. But because of its revelations and because of its sort of quality, it's one potentially you could have a Q&A afterwards. I'm not sure whether we're going to do that or not. It kind of depends on, you know what I mean? It's sort of, so it's all a bit, it all a bit depends, really.
It's about engagement.
Yeah, it's about engagement, about what's best for the subject. Yeah. I mean, we're doing a history doc about a kind of a history of set in the Vietnam War. And that's a presenter-driven essay history. It's the presenter takes a stance at the beginning, which is provocative. Yeah.
And presenters?
Yeah, I mean, I think presenters... we've said for a long time at documentaries that we're kind of keen to develop talent. I don't think we've done enough, and we're just not going to be... The controllers won't be satisfied with us not doing more. So we're going to be doing presenters.
Especially
more.
Those half hours and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's here's the other thing. If you're trying to shift in ABC One, where most of the resource goes, is trying to engage more with people. It's trying not to abandon its older audience, but it's trying to engage with the younger audience. And to do that, it's going to risk, you know, annoying a few of the older ones. But for presenters, for the faces, people tend to watch on telly people the same age as them or younger. So with some notable exceptions, you know, absolute experts in their field, you know, David Attenborough, you know, whatever, in general, if you're going to pitch presenters, think about who the target audience is and let's make sure that there's someone that people can relate to. I think also we're going to have to develop presenters out of people who are experts better, you know, consistently. We have to back ourselves to do that. So if the right historian has never presented on TV before, then we're going to have to, whether it's a development deal or just a bloody mindedness and sheer perseverance of the producer, make that person a strong TV presenter.
And they have to be Australian?
Not absolutely. I mean, addicted to money. Mm. So no, not necessarily.
Happy to go there again?
I think Addicted to Money was a success. I mean, it was a massive success in Ireland and a more moderate success in Australia. But as the Irish economy was an absolute free fall. So when it came on, you know, apparently, you know, just about every Irish person watched it.
Right.
Yeah, whereas our economy was sort of going quite nicely.
Bouncing back.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, they're kind of not necessarily. And I say in science, if we have a science series that's... you know, it's presenter driven and we're going to try and make it international. We're going to have to be open about who the presenter is.
So things like travel.
Yeah, travel's something that ABC One is that ABC One. Adventure on ABC Two, travel on ABC One are opportunities. They're both. But if you think about going for a younger, I just said something is that ABC One skews slightly female now, and ABC Two skews male.
Right.
So adventure, what you might say, would be more male and
right.
younger.
Yeah. More gardens on one. More mountains on two.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. More history on and culture on, and ideas on. Not necessarily ideas, but kind of you know, things. But that, if you think about travel and adventure, that they do lend themselves to presenters.
Mm. Yeah. Any comments from the floor? Ricky?
I have a question. Can you talk a bit about if, say, an emerging writer producer here has an idea, is he best to call and say, I've got this fantastic idea, what do you recommend, if you like it or not, or come in with someone? I suppose what I'm asking you more IP-driven or production company-driven in terms of...
Look, the thing is, you always look at both, you know. So if someone's got a really good idea, if someone's coming in with an early stages idea, it depends on how well formed the idea is too, you know. The people who make it's really, really important. I mean, everyone with money to invest in films, you know, or you're backing the people who are making it. And so everyone, you look really closely at their track record. And if they haven't got a long track record, you look at who's supporting them. Yeah. It's ideas and people, but the thing is, broad church, we're not thinking, oh, these people are, you know, we're not, I think if you answer the question, I say I'm more ideas driven. Yeah, I sort of think, keen to give someone a go if I've got a brilliant idea. Yeah? But I'd also, if they haven't got much experience, well, they haven't got experience in a certain area, I'd like to make sure they're backed up by people that have got experience in that area. Do you want to talk about development? We're really active and bright development manager, Edwina Waddy, and we have development funds to invest in projects with, you know, based on specific outcomes. So, and often those funds are matched, sometimes by Screen West, sometimes by Screen Australia. So, you know, I mean, Australia is really well served for development. You know, if you've got an idea that's strong, and we don't know whether we can commission it because something's not there, not there yet. You can get it, but it's sort of like there's sometimes people don't want development when really we can say yes or no to it there. You know, we can it's there. It's sort of like, you know, it doesn't really, you know, we can imagine what it's going to be like. Sometimes it's, we will try and be as specific as when we draw a development contract up, we try and be as specific as possible about what you're going to deliver and what that deliver and what's going to constitute, a development that's, you know, strong enough to commission, if it can still beat out, you know, given all the other vagaries, what our budgets are, whether we can still, it can beat out competitions or something that came in last week or whatever, yeah. But we do have development cash, and we do write letters of interest from time to time, but they are fairly gold-plated, those letters of interest. They mean we are genuinely interested in them. And both letters of interest and development don't ensure a commission. They ensure our engagement, but they don't ensure a commission, and it's ferociously competitive.
If you're dealing with us, if you can get the money out of the ABC, you will match it, up to $25,000.
Yeah.
If you can get a letter of interest, if you can get a genuine letter of interest out of the ABC, not just, I've seen this, we'd like to see it at some stage when you finished it, but we really like this idea, we would like to see it developed, we will also fund those. We have rounds, I think we have about four rounds of television funding a year. So about every 3 months, we have a competitive round. And so if you can get a letter from Alan or one of the commissioning editors, that will also ensure that you can get some money from us as well.
Yeah, we don't have rounds for development. We can do development at any time. So you can get your money in a couple of weeks.
And you can do that match. We will just match. It's quite quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, how specific do you have to be about the development? For instance, the idea you're talking about, the alien coming to town, would you say to them, oh, it's a great idea, we don't know how we want to play it as an hour or a series. Would you then give them money to go on film? Or
no, well, not for that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that idea is kind of like, we either buy it or we don't, really.
Yeah.
It's happening. It's got an outcome because, you know, you can at the end of a certain time they have to start paying rent. You know, it's got a kind of guaranteed third act. It's got a certain number of people. It's got a certain scale. We could say yes or no to it. We could decide whether it's half hours or hours. I mean, it's kind of stuff like the access is quite you're going to film in a sensitive area, and we don't know whether you've got access, how firm the access is, so we might get you filming for a couple of weeks to make sure that you're getting stuff. Look at the rushes. What's another thing? Where There's just, it's a good idea, but there's just so much research. There's just so much research that needs to be done, and you don't know until you've done this particular research whether it's really going to work, you know, whether it's enough, or idea where it's got to be marketed internationally too, and you kind of, the development is knowing. We don't give money for marketing, but we give money to develop the idea, you know, to which can help with marketing. Yeah. Sometimes you need to, you know, shoot something or be sure of something.
Show a presenter.
Yeah, or well, presenters, yeah, is a big thing. Or a character. But usually we wouldn't sort of give money for a developer. I mean, usually people come with the character. If it's a very driven by character, people usually turn up with the character, something shot of the camera. Shot, yeah. Even if it's with their phone, you know, something that you like. Yeah.
All right.
Do you have a drink?
I think so.
And ask any questions
drink,
over a drink.
A bit of a talk.
Yeah.
And you can ask any more questions of Alan if you like. And also don't forget, our star team is amongst you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for coming.